It's great. It's great. Well, today we're in week six of our next week we're wrapping this whole series up. It's called Kingdom, and we're talking about Jesus's favorite topic. We're talking about what he always talked about. He always went back to the kingdom over and over and over. And so we figured we better spend some time talking about the kingdom as well. We've found out some pretty cool things about the kingdom. And I find every time that I read the Bible, I don't know about you, every time I read the Bible and actually sit down and actually try to figure out what it's saying to me, I learn something new. The Bible's a pretty cool book. It's a pretty amazing grouping of many authors and a long amount of time between the beginning and the end of it. And it's an incredible story of what God has done. And when we read it and open it, we get to learn new things all the time. Because otherwise, how could you listen to a preacher every single week? Really? Some of you are like, I can't. I'm really tired. I'm going to go to sleep right now. I take nap every Sunday. But really, I'm going to get up and talk about the Bible, which has been talked about for thousands of years. And people have brought similar things to people. And yet we still get something from it. We still learn something from it. Isn't that a pretty amazing testimony about God's goodness in the Bible anyways? That still there's something that we can be learning from the Bible. And so I'm excited that I have learned many things even in this series. So let's just pray before we get started too far. Lord, thank you that you teach us. Teach us more today. In your name we pray. Amen. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. One of my summer jobs once upon a time, several years ago, quite a few years ago now actually, I was a farmer. I was a farmhand. I guess I wasn't really a farmer, but I definitely worked on a farm. And there was a number of reasons I worked on a farm. One, I just thought it would be cool to work on the farm. Two, I thought it would make me more of a man. I'm just kidding, sort of. And three, I was trying to impress my hopefully in-laws. I was dating a girl named Kendall at that point, who is now my wife. And her parents owned a farm. And so I thought, okay, if I'm going to win this girl's hand in marriage, then I better go show them how smoothly I can talk to cows. So I decided, I'm going to the farm, and I'm going to make that the best farm ever, and I'm going to do my best job, and I'm going to show them I can get dirty or sunburned and wear off lines in my leg hair from gumboots, and I can still be happy and good and cheery so that I can marry their daughter. And so that was the idea. I thought I'd go there and work on the farm, and I lived in the woods for a while. I lived in a little cabin, and I remember the first time I got there, I was nervous as anything. I hadn't driven, the biggest vehicle I had really driven by that point was my family station wagon, which did have 8 seats, I'll have you know, so it was pretty big. But anyways, that was about the biggest vehicle. Now I've got all these tractors all around and big trailers all around. All of this stuff that could easily break anything that was in sight. Like I was always, I showed up there, I thought, okay, so what happens if I drive that tractor into that barn? You know, it would go down and it wouldn't take much. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm ready for this farm experience actually. But then the first day on the farm, they came up to me and said, okay, we're gonna do a job today. It's one that you can all do. So here we're gonna go rock picking. I'm like, rock picking? I do that all the time. Victoria, I find the best rocks and they're like beautiful rocks. They've been smoothed out by the ocean and we do crafts with them at home. It's so, that sounds like a cute job. Great. And so he said, we're going to go rock picking. The other farmhands are like, what? Oh, no, I don't want to go rock picking. I'm thinking, this sounds so nice. I love it. Let's go. And so we go out and we drive to this field. And basically what this is that every time that they move the soil, every time that they get in and get the soil all worked up and dig into the soil, new rocks show up in the field. And so we show up, it is a cooking hot day, and you show up to the field and you see the heat waves rising up off it. You know that look? You know that feel? Oh no, what is going on? And there's 3 bears walking off the field at that point too. Literally. I'm like, I don't know about this job anymore. And the entire job is we're going to walk across dirt that is gets into your boots and gets into your everywhere and gets all over you. And you're just covered in dirt. It's cooking hot, but you still wear as much clothes as you can. That's the funny thing about farming. It's so hot, but you have to wear as much clothes as you can because everything's dirty. And so anyway, so we're walking in this field and we just have to pick up rocks that have been that have shown up after they went and dug up the land. They're getting the field ready and all we're doing is picking up rocks. I remember thinking, where did these rocks come from? Like, I've seen this field, I've seen a field before, and I don't see rocks. I've seen a flat field, I've seen a grass field, I've seen a dirt field, and I don't see rocks. But every single time this happens, every time they go and plow the land, every time they go and dig up the land, new rocks appear. And before that, I had no idea that that happened. I didn't know that. I just thought, if there's dirt, there's dirt. If there's grass, and that's it. But as soon as they dig a little, something new is revealed. As soon as they dig in the dirt a little bit, something new shows up. Something appears. When you dig in the field, things get revealed. When you dig in the field, every single time, something comes up that wasn't on the surface. That wasn't there to be apparently seen ahead of time. It wasn't there to be obviously noticed ahead of time. Every time you dig in the field, something new gets revealed. Same is true for our faith. Sometimes I feel like our faith is more like a field where we just sort of walk on top and nothing changes and there's just sort of dirt and it's a little bit boring maybe. There's not much to it. You just think, well, this is some flat land and I'm walking on it and I don't really see much happening, but this is what my faith is and I guess this is what being a Christian is. How many times have you read the Bible and just felt like, okay, I just spent 15 minutes, an hour, 2 hours reading the Bible, I have no idea anything that happened in my life. How many times have you prayed? I have had so many people come into my office and say, I feel like I'm praying and my prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming back to me. Have you ever felt like that? No. Okay. Guess I'm preaching to myself this week, which is always good. You feel like you pray, you feel like you show up at church. And you leave church, I don't know what that was, but I guess that's just one of the things I have to do because I'm a Christian. I have to go to church, and I'm going to sit through a boring message, and I'm going to listen to the songs and decide if I like them or not. I'm going to listen to some announcements, I'll decide if I'm going to go to that or not. But that's just what I do as a Christian, and then I go home, and primarily Sunday is about a good lunch following church. Our Christian life can get to that place where we're just sort of walking around on a field. Nothing new. Nothing is growing. Nothing is changing. We're not digging in the field, so nothing is being revealed to us. Nothing new is happening. But Jesus says, Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden. I just want you to take a second and consider that for a second. I'm talking about one verse today in church. One verse, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden. First of all, it's like treasure. I wonder today if you feel like the kingdom of God is like treasure in your life. I wonder today if you feel like you're more walking on a field or if there's something exciting about your faith. If there's something real about your faith, the treasure in your life, the good stuff, the best thing in your faith, the best stuff, the exciting, the dreams, the passions, the new thoughts, the revelations, the excitement, the faith steps, all of that stuff, the kingdom, it is a treasure in your life and it is hidden. I think that's funny that it's hidden. Sort of think like, are we sure that it's hidden? But of course it's hidden. You know why I know it's hidden? Because otherwise everyone would be in here saying, look at my treasure, look at my treasure, look at my treasure, look at my treasure. We'd all be excited if we had treasure, wouldn't we? We would be absolutely just stoked, overjoyed, just over the moon if we walked in here we had treasure. Like, look at the treasure that I have. But it's hidden. It's hidden. Is God playing a joke on us or something? You know, hey, I have the best thing for you. Go find it. Good luck. Hope you can find it. Here's a map, you know. X marks the spot. Go see if you can find this hidden treasure. It is hidden. The kingdom of God is hidden. Let that encourage you today, people. Your faith won't come easy to you. The greatest and most exciting pieces of your faith won't just land on your lap. You won't always just all of a sudden be like, I'm just so overjoyed because Jesus is Lord of my life and everything is happy and I have my dreams coming true and my potential is being fulfilled and I have all of these visions and excitement and passion and all of these things. In fact, if you know someone like that, you should be worried about that person. Seriously. Because it's hidden. Nobody's that good at hide and seek. Nobody can find treasure all the time like that. It's hidden. Today, if you come to church, I just don't know if I've been feeling anything lately. I feel like I'm just walking around on a surface faith. I feel like I'm walking around on a field of faith. I'm not seeing anything new and exciting and passionate in my life. I'm just not seeing it. What is going on, Pastor? What is going on? Maybe I'm not a person of faith. No. Start digging. Start digging in your life. Start searching for things. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. With all of your heart. So what does that mean to seek God with all of my heart? What does it mean for all of my heart to be seeking God? What does that even mean for us? What would that look like? I think it looks like this. Seek God with all of what you care about. What you care about are usually summed up in three things. Your time, your talent, and your treasures. Matthew 6:20-21 says, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you want to seek God with all of your heart, seek Him with all of your time, your talent, and your treasure. Start putting your time into the kingdom of God rather than yourself. If all of your time, talent, and treasure is for yourself, you will love yourself more than anything else. That's just the way it goes. We know that that's true. If all of your time, talent, and treasure go into your workplace, you will love your workplace more than anything else. And when you find that you're angry at your workplace, your life will be shattered because it was the only thing you loved. You gave it everything you had. You gave it your time, talent, and treasure, and now you don't like it. What is my life then? Right? What am I supposed to do with that? But if we would put it into the kingdom of God, if your time would go maybe to someone that you don't really want to spend time with, but you feel like you should. If your talent might go somewhere besides just to glorifying yourself, just to getting a promotion for yourself. If your treasure, if your money would go somewhere besides just into getting better stuff in your life. If your treasure goes into your summertime boat, you can expect your heart to follow it. And then you come back in September and say, I just can't figure out why I don't see God. Well, probably because you didn't seek God. You're seeking a new boat. I know that because that's where you're putting all the things that are connected to your heart. But if you will put them into the kingdom of God, all of a sudden the kingdom of God gets revealed to you in new and amazing ways. Jesus said it. The Lord says it to us. Seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And then he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you want your heart to seek God, put your treasure where God is, and you'll see your heart seek God, and you will see God. So the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Has anyone ever stopped there in Scripture and thought about that? This is the best treasure I've ever found. Hide. Do. You're like, what did he do? Walk away like this and spin three times? And like, can I still see it or no? Nope, it's gone. It's hidden again. Yay. Like, what? It's so weird that he just like, I found a treasure and then I hid it again. I put it back in that field so I can't see it anymore. This is the best. I think part of the reason why this is the best thing is because treasure from God is not something to be had. It's something to be sought. And sometimes as Christians, we think that we're done. We've accomplished it. We've got the Christian everything. We have said the words. We have asked for forgiveness. We've showed up to church for a certain number of years in a row. We've done all the things. And now I have the kingdom of God. But Jesus says, go hide it again because you got to keep seeking. What would be more attractive to people in your life that you can go and tell them, I have the kingdom of God and you don't? Do you want it? Or, I'm seeking something that I've already found, but I want to see more of it. It's so incredible. What's more attractive to people in your life? Go hide it again. Seek it again. What if we could put ourselves on the same level as anyone who's not even part of this church and we can say, I'm seeking the kingdom just like you are. I'm seeking. I want to know more. I want to see in greater ways. I want my eyes to be open. I want my heart to be softened. I want to dig the ground again. I want to get the ground moving again. I want to see what pops up and what I can discover. I want to see the new things that God has for me. The kingdom is like this. It's like treasure that becomes treasure again and again and again and again because it gets hidden and brought up again and hidden and brought up again. And it becomes new and exciting every single time we find the kingdom. And we seek the kingdom. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart. I hid it. Part of the reason we hide the word of God that comes to us is so that we can protect it. Sometimes from other people who try to take away the truth that have been spoken to us. And sometimes for ourselves we hide it. I one time had a youth guy who... I met him in grade 12. He was in grade 12. And he was a great guy. Loved him. He was just a fantastic young man. Had lots of challenges that he faced in life. And he had determined 100% that there was no God. And I said, that's okay. I can still take you out for a hamburger. So we did. And we'd talk and he'd tell me all the things, all the reasons why there's no God. Here's why. And here's how the earth was created. And here's how all the things took place. And here's why God couldn't have existed here. And here's all of the things. And they were good arguments. Like they were very, he had very much spent, he was a very wise kid. And so we'd just talk and I'd say, okay, yeah, okay, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Let's meet again next week. And we would. We kept meeting. Then one time he was at youth because he started liking a girl at youth group. That worked in our favor. So he started coming to youth group and hanging out. And I remember this one time I was speaking. I said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand. And he put up his hand. I'm like, whoa, what just happened? So I went and talked to him after the service. I'm like, hey, I need to ask you something. Like, you raised your hand. He's like, yeah. So what's up? Did you give your life to Jesus today? No. What? You raised your hand. You didn't have a question. Otherwise, I was a very poorly placed hand at that point. I said, why did you raise your hand? He said, I don't know. It was just sort of an emotion I had in the moment. It just felt right at the time. I just raised my hand. But no, nothing changed in my life. I'm like, okay. Ouch. So then he came to a conference with us. And there was this big conference that all of our youth group went to, and the speaker got up and he sort of gave the same type of thing. He said, if you want to give your life to this Jesus, if you want to follow him, if you want to, then get up and come to the front here. And so this guy first one up and our youth group walks to the front. I'm like, what just happened? I went looking for him and there were all these people. I couldn't find him. Finally, he's walking back to his seat. I said, stop. What just happened? And he said, I just felt like I had to respond. I said, did you give your life to Jesus? He said, yeah, Evan, I'm a Christian. I said, why? Good pastor. So why? Why did you do that? And he said, Evan, I know I have all of these reasons. I know I have all of this logic. I know I have all of these thoughts. I have everything decided. I have everything figured out in my life. But none of that can compare to the way the Lord is speaking into my life right now. I've never felt something like this. And I said, you remember this moment. Because tomorrow someone will tell you it was just a feeling. Tomorrow someone will tell you that was a lie. Tomorrow someone will say that doesn't actually hold any water. Now that doesn't actually count for anything. That was just some warm fuzzies. I said, right now we're having a logical conversation. I'm not going to take this away into some other land. I'm going to talk to you like a human to a human. And I'm saying, you tell me right now that you remember this, that you remember what God has done in your life today that is greater than any teacher could speak to you, than any philosopher could tell you. tell you anything like that? He goes, yeah, it is 100%. This is better. We got to hide it in our hearts so that we can find it again, so we can discover it again, so we can get back to that kingdom goodness that is greater than anything that we've experienced before. I love when God does that. I love when He gives us something to remember and live for. Third one. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had. I like that. He just goes and sells everything. I don't know what value he thought this treasure was worth. I don't know if he assessed everything. Okay, there's 3 gold coins, and there's those pearls, and there's a couple gemstones. I think we're probably sitting at 3 times my life savings. Okay, I better go sell everything. I don't know if he assessed it or where it was at, but what I do know is he went and he said, whatever I've found here, I'm giving everything that I possibly have so that I can have this. That's pretty cool. And I'll tell you something. The world will be changed if Christians start to live a life as if what they've found in Jesus Christ is worth everything that they've ever had and worth everything that they could ever have. And that there's a new type of thing in life that we say, actually, I don't need to get the highest paying job and push everyone out of the way so that I can go and rise up and make sure I have a really good retirement plan. I don't need to go ahead and put people down so that I can look better. I don't need to spend all my money trying to get a better job and stop serving the church because there's a new kind of treasure in my life. And I'll give up everything for it. Last year, right about at this time, I was leading the church in Victoria through a video series, and it was called Walk His Trail. And that video was about this family who went and wanted to be missionaries to this particular tribe. And the men who went to this tribe, and they met twice. The second time they met, they were all killed. Every one of them was killed. And so the family, the kids and the moms went and found out they were killed and thought, okay, what do we do? I don't know what you'd think at that point, but they decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go back there and carry on the mission. All of the men got killed. They were dead. And the moms and the kids said, well, let's just go back and carry on. They went right back into that mission field and said, hey, just so you know, we're the wives and kids of the men that you killed, and we're here because Jesus asked them to go, and now He's asked us to go. That entire tribe came to know Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because they said, well, maybe death is going to come, but if it does, we got the treasure. We've got the kingdom. We've got the good stuff. We've dug around a little bit. We're not living on a field. We're digging up the field. We're finding the good stuff that's in it. I had another guy at youth camp last year. I wanted to tell this story so that you can be praying for the campers this year while they're away right now. There was a guy last year who our church, he wasn't going to be able to go. Our church sent him fully because he just couldn't afford it. He was going through some really rough times in our youth group and having some real challenges. And he showed up to camp and he had all these cuts on his arms from cutting himself because it was the only outlet that he felt like he had. And he showed up to camp and he was saying to all the guys in the cabin, no, God doesn't exist. You know, this is nothing's real. None of this matters anymore. And one of the counselors said, hey, for 1 week, give up every preconceived idea you have. For 1 week, just forget all of those things. Just for 1 week, would you just give up everything else so that you can see if Jesus might want to speak into your life this week? Would you just do that? 1 week, would you do that? He said, I don't know, I'll try. So it came to this one night, and he was sitting there. All of his friends had had this great experience with God, and he was sitting there like, nothing's going on in my life. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Who am I? I guess you're not real, God. And he's standing there. There's some music going on in the background. And he's just like, God, I just don't know where you are or what you're doing. And he felt this God who he's never known speak to him and say, hey, just raise your hands to me. So he did. He raised his hands. He felt like God had asked him to raise his hands. And then the counselor, who was one of our youth leaders, strolled upon this guy who was now sitting down and crying in his seat. He said, what's going on? Are you okay? Thinking that he's going to say, I'm just so sad that God doesn't exist. But everyone else seems like they're having a good idea. And the guy looks at him. He says, it's all gone. It's all gone. And he's saying this all through tears. He says, what's gone? And he rolls up his sleeves and says, all my scars are gone. This boy showed his scars to people before he showed up to camp. And while he was at camp, his scars were gone. That was wild. Jesus said, raise your hands. And he healed his arms. It was wild. It was amazing to see. So pray for the people at camp. Because some of them are going to be asked to give up everything. Just for a week even. Just give up everything for a week. What happens if you just give up everything for a week? Could Jesus speak into your life? Just give up everything for 1 week. Some people are going to be called into pastoral work, into missions work this week. Some people are going to be called into making lots of money for people. Some people are going to be called into all sorts of different things. And today, this week will be the time when they decide if they're going to do it or not. Just pray that they would give up everything, so that God might be able to speak to them. I'd like to invite the worship team forward. The last part of this verse. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Now, I don't know about you, but I sort of think this is a strange plan for him to go and buy the whole field. Because the field's not all that special. Why not just dig up the treasure, take the treasure to the woods somewhere, hide it there, and go back and get it later? No, he says, I'm going to hide it right here in this field, and I'm going to buy the whole field. Probably how much he bought that field for, people would have been like, you're crazy. That field is not worth that. That field should not cost you that much. Why would you want to pay that much for that field? But he knew in his heart what was in that field, if you would just dig around. I want you to think of the field like your Christian life. Because sometimes we think our Christian life is all about this one treasure box that we find. Once I have the grace of Jesus, boom, it's all done. I've got the grace. Now I don't need to do anything. I don't need to think anything. I don't need to try to do anything. I just need to just experience it. This guy goes and buys the field. The dusty field. The filthy field, the tiring field, the bare field. Your Christian life is going to call something of you that you might not like at some point. I promise you, there will be things in your life that it would be easier if you weren't a Christian than if you were. You might say, yeah, but I have treasure. Yeah, you do have treasure. Yeah, but I have eternal life. Yeah, you do have eternal life. But those moments where maybe everyone else seems like they can be friends because they're all doing this thing that you feel like you shouldn't do and you have to step out of that situation, that's going to be hard. That's the field. And the field's not worth it. The Christian life is not worth it, but the life that Christ gives is. The field of sometimes loneliness is not always worth it. The field that we some when we have to walk with integrity when no one else has to, that's not always worth it. Except there's treasure. The field where we have to be honest when not everyone else is, where other people are sort of confusing the truth and making things seem a certain way, and you have to say, no, I have to be honest in here. Why would you give your life to that type of life unless you know there's treasure in that field? Unless you know there's something good to be found, unless you know the kingdom is found, when you're in that life, you dig a little and you find Jesus Christ. The Christian life is not something worth promoting to people, but the treasure is. The kingdom of God is. People aren't going to be changed anymore by us saying, hey, just so you know, you can live a really nice life and be really good and honest and true. Do you want to do that? People usually say no now. But when we go and say, hey, there's something that I've given my entire life up for. I've given up every dream to be rich for. I've given up every dream to be able to travel all of these places for. I've given up every dream of being famous for. I've given up every dream to be able to do all these things. I've thrown everything away and said, Lord, whatever you want to give back to me, you can give back to me. Whatever you don't want to give back to me, you don't need to give back to me. When you're living for something that important to you, that special to you, that much of a treasure to you, people will look on and say, I think I want that. I think I want that. And if it costs me that I have to be honest at times, and if it costs me and I have to be more generous at times, if it costs me and I have to have more integrity at times, and I have to love people who I wouldn't love at times, if it costs me that, it's worth it, because the treasure is good. The treasure is real. It's worth giving your whole life for. It's worth giving everything for. And it's worth even buying the field and saying, I'll walk out a life for Jesus, because I got life from Jesus. Treasure is not something for us to hold over our heads and say, I have something you don't. Something for us to stick back in the ground, stick into our heart, keep searching for, and invite people along that journey with us to search for what God has placed in us that we found and planted back in, and found and planted back in, and found and planted back in. God has treasure for us. For those who will seek Him, you will find Him when you seek Him with all of your heart. And seeking Him with all of your heart is putting your time, talent, and your treasure where His heart is. In the broken, in the weary, in the impoverished, in the challenging, in the annoying, in the backstabbing. I don't know if you remember, but Jesus on the cross, to the people who backstabbed Him, prayed for their forgiveness. He didn't hold a treasure above His head and say, I have the kingdom and you don't because you've done this. He said, the treasure of the kingdom of God will be found in any heart that looks. And so I pray every heart will. Jesus, I just pray that today You would make us into seekers. Because when we're seekers, we know we're not there yet. Lord, You've given us everything in full. Jesus Christ is all the prophecies come to life. He is everything. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. He is the fulfillment of everything. And we have Him fully when we accept Him into our lives and welcome Him to lead us. And yet, Lord, there is still something that we want. We still want to be poor in spirit so that we still know that there's something to be sought after. And so, God, when we know the treasure that You've given us, help us to plant it back in the ground, to be excited about it, to give everything for it, to buy the field and to invite other people onto the field to search around with us. Help us to live for You, Lord, to dig in our faith, because as we dig in the field, new things will be revealed. Teach us to be that kind of people, Lord. Teach us to walk with that kind of faith. Not a faith that's bored out of our minds every time we read the Bible, pray, or go to church. But a faith that says, there's something new here, right now, that I'm going to find. And it's a treasure beyond all I could imagine. Help us to live that kind of faith, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and worship one song here.